Chinook. It's a warm wind.
It's a changing wind.
Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives.
Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage,
how things are and how they got that way.
Chinook Patterns is information.
Issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life.
Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events.
But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
Welcome to Chinook Patterns. Today, this radio program looks at TV. Ptarmigan TV, a project funded by the National Endowment for the Humanities and directed by the Center for Cross-Cultural Studies at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks. School children in four areas of the state are participating in the project, which began last November and will finish this May. High school television classes in Barrow, St. Paul, and Yakutat, and a class from Tanana Junior High in Fairbanks are making videotapes about their communities. The project director is Ron Inouye, and the curriculum developer is Carol McTaggart. She explains where the idea for the Ptarmigan TV project came from.
The idea for the project is kind of based on the Foxfire idea. I don't know if you're familiar with Foxfire, but it's a magazine that was put out in Appalachia, and the teacher who worked with the students putting this out thought that the students would be more motivated to write and learn if the basis of that writing and learning could be their own community. And in Appalachia, Elliot Wigington had his students work on things like interviews of local people. They did a lot of things on folklore, preserving a lot of the customs that were sort of dying out in Appalachia. Ptarmigan TV is not quite the same thing. Ptarmigan TV involves video with some high schools, and it also involves other kinds of projects like writing, picture taking, things like that. The idea of it is not to do a magazine, but to do a curriculum about the student's own area. And hopefully these materials that they develop through video and through other methods will be put in the curriculum throughout the state, because right now there is a real lack of curriculum about certain villages and towns in Alaska for other, you know, for resources for teachers and students. So we asked the students to do some videotapes, some other written materials, with the idea that they are explaining to the other kids in the project about their area.
You were saying the purpose of the project is, for one, to develop a curriculum?
Yeah, very, very loosely we could call it a curriculum. Basically, what we're hoping that we have is a package that we can send out with various written materials and a certain number of tapes, about five 20-minute tapes in them, that will kind of tell the story of that particular site from the viewpoint of the kids. You could call this curriculum, it might be more, you might call it more enrichment, perhaps.
So when the project is done, the tapes and resulting written materials will be sent to other areas in the state, or what will be done with them?
We'll have them available, I think, through the state library, so that they will be available to anyone in the state.
Mm-hmm. So if someone were to wonder what's life like in Barrow, they could...
Right. And the kids seem very interested in the way the other kids depict their surroundings, you know. So I think, you know, if you're looking for motivation to study Barrow, instead of opening a book or a magazine saying, let's read about Barrow, you know, this is, let's see what the students in Barrow think of Barrow. And they're interested in a lot of the issues that are, you know, current, what we would call current events issues, you know, the whaling, the image of Barrow. Is it hostile? Is it a violent place? The kids there would like to present an alternate view, things like that. So it's issue-oriented also.
Do you have any idea yet how they'll be presenting their communities? Will they be talking to elderly people in the community or doing research? What kind of things are they doing like that?
That's one possibility, yes. Here in Fairbanks, they're interested in talking to some of the senior citizens as far as finding out about some of their experiences in the early days, not just in Fairbanks, but going around the state. We have some contacts made already, and I know they're hoping to start videotaping some interviews. And the kids are really getting into history. They've been through the archives and everything, and they're really getting into learning about Fairbanks history. So that's one method. In Barrow, I know they're interested in talking about the whaling issue, and so they would be interviewing people involved in whaling. In Yakutat, they're interested there right now in presenting some of the geography of the area.
I was just thinking that you have these four vastly different sites, Fairbanks, Barrow, St. Paul, and Yakutat, almost with different cultures or cultural backgrounds.
And the geography is really different, too.
Will kids be getting into their own cultural backgrounds, like St. Paul, the Russian influence, and things like that? Is that part of the things that they'll be researching?
They are very aware of their culture there. What we're hoping with having all of these diverse cultures is that the kids can really get into comparing, you know, one site with another and how they hunt or, you know, get their food or whatever, you know, and how one site compares with another site. We're hoping this will become part of the project later.
I was wondering if video was chosen as the means for this project for other reasons, other than the fact it's accessible and fun to watch, or?
Well, video is becoming very popular as a teaching tool, not so much in Fairbanks, but around the state. And also in Alaska, really the best way and the most immediate way for people to talk to each other is through video, and all of the sites have some sort of video access where they can transmit to the community, or we can, you know, by exchanging tapes through the mail, which we're doing also. The kids are exchanging tapes with each other. It's something that really speaks to the TV generation, but I think that's why it was chosen also, because a lot of these sites have equipment, and for instance in Barrow, they have equipment and they have a TV class, but this is a way to give them a content area. Ron was very interested in motivating teachers not just to teach the have the kids play with the equipment, but to actually direct it toward with a real project in mind. I think especially the kids in St. Paul are really impressed with the idea that this is a real thing. This is something that's going to be communicated to other real people, possibly, you know, statewide, maybe on this station, who knows. But I think the kids realize that this isn't just play. This is something that's really real. And that's what's really neat about it.
And the idea that it's their own community they're talking about,
right,
makes them more motivated. And
Right. For instance, St. Paul, you know, a lot of those kids have been off the island maybe once or twice, and they know their community very, very well. All the small communities, you know, the kids are really centered on that particular community. So we are hoping that they will come up with insights on their community that an outsider would not have.
There have been some criticisms about TV in the bush in Alaska, in that all these programs from the big networks in the states are coming here, and what impact do they have on the culture of those small villages and towns? Is part of the idea behind Ptarmigan TV to give kids access to TV so they'll understand it from the inside out?
Right. in using the cameras and in making some editorial decisions and in making some, doing editing and things like that, we're really asking the kids to look at TV in a very active way instead of a passive way. Hopefully, they will understand a lot more about how a TV show gets made and perhaps do some very constructive criticism of what they do see. A lot of the communities have access to their own local broadcasting, so they will be able to become part of the programming. And maybe they will understand that maybe they can make a difference by presenting their point of view or whatever. And that TV isn't just something to sit back and sort of sit glazed, looking at it with glazed eyes, but that it is a real something that you can really actively do.
Carol McTaggart of the Ptarmigan TV Project. On our next program, we'll hear more on what the kids are doing with television in their communities. For Chinook Patterns, I'm Nancy Harris. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM at the University of Alaska in Fairbanks.
Chinook, it's a warm wind. It's a changing wind. Chinook, a program for and about Alaskan natives. Chinook Echoes is looking back into native heritage, how things are and how they got that way. Chinook Patterns is information, issues that affect the patterns of Alaskan life. Chinook Profiles, portraits of people, places, events. But mostly the people who are Alaskan.
My name is Julie Melvidoff. I'm 14 years old, and I'm from the island of St. Paul. I'd like to know what types of edible fruits or vegetables grow where you live.
My name's Amelia Rukovishnikov. I'm 14 years old. I'm interested in flying in the Navy. My question for you is, what do you do in your spare time?
My name is Kay Stepton, and I'm 14 years old. I'm interested in photography and other things, but I'm not sure what I want to be. I like recreation, and I was wondering what kind of recreation you have down there. I also like discos, and I was wondering what kind of discos you have and how good are they.
Hello, my name is Tommy Shane, and I was born on St. George Island. I lived over there until I was two, and my parents decided to move over here in St. Paul. So I call it my hometown. I'm 15 now, and I lived over here for 13 years. My question now is, what kind of hunting do you do down there?
Hello, I'm Diane Marie Hapoff. I'm 15 years old. I'm in the ninth grade. After school, I'm planning to join the Air Force. My question for you is, what do your people do for a living?
This is Chinook Profiles. I'm Nancy Harris, and we just met some of the students in the Ptarmigan TV Project from St. Paul. They were talking to other students in Barrow, Yakutat, and Fairbanks. Each class will exchange videotapes about their communities. In Yakutat, television production is nothing new. Students have been using it to present local news. They're what you'd call issue-oriented. In Barrow, the kids want to show what life is really like there. They feel that Barrow hasn't been treated fairly by the media lately. In St. Paul, the students are interested in their Aleut heritage and in displaying it proudly. Kids in Fairbanks are busy researching the town's wild and woolly past. Carol McTaggart and Bob Walker have been traveling to the Ptarmigan TV sites. They've seen what the students are doing with television and, as Bob explains, what TV is doing to them.
Television is real widely accepted in all the communities. Both Yakutat and St. Paul have mini transmitters there, and they're on a satellite television network. And even though that's only broadcast commercial television for 8 hours a day on one channel, and that's their only alternative, some households, there was one in St. Paul that had 5 television sets. And in the television class, I ask everyone in their houses how many televisions were in each house. And of 13 people that I asked, 3 of them had 2 television sets, and the rest had more. That was also true in Yakutat, actually, and I asked around there, and that was my first exposure to it, and I was quite surprised to find 3 and 4 television sets where there's only one alternative in terms of a channel.
What would that mean?
That they're quite addicted to television. Television has become really integrated into that community, into both Yakutat and St. Paul. It's clear that it's also happening here in Fairbanks. Also, it seems to be... they've integrated it quite well in all these communities into serving as a communication means for the community between programming that comes across on the satellite. There's always a bulletin board set up and where any community news is passed along. Also in Yakutat, the kids at the high school ran their own news program once a week there.
What would that consist of, or what did that consist of?
It was entirely local news. They didn't, and some state news. I guess the most interesting that's occurred there is there's a large controversy that happened last year in the springtime when, in the course of broadcasting that news program, the students went to the city council. No, they got the police, it's sort of like a blotter, the police record of who's been arrested that day. And they were reading that over the air, just names and what the charges were, which is public record. But it turned out that that was some relatives of influential people in Yakutat. Their names appeared there, and a big hubbub followed.
What happened?
The 6 o'clock news produced by Yakutat went off the air. Yes.
Well, it was reported in, the Wall Street Journal and nationally.
Yes.
How did that happen?
The story was picked up nationwide and was carried in many of the newspapers. Someone volunteered, a lawyer in Juneau, volunteered to defend the students in a court case, but it was when the question was put to the class whether or not they wanted to pursue it on legal grounds, they decided against it, that they'd just as soon drop it.
Do you know why they decided to drop it?
They said that it wasn't worth the fight and that it was polarizing their community too much. There's just too much bad feeling in a community of 500 people, since they had to live there and work there, that it was better just to drop it.
Hmm. But they're back on the air.
Yes.
But are they broadcasting the 6 o'clock news?
Yes, they do the 6 o'clock news, but they don't do the police blotter. But they are finding quite an outlet in the television. They have access to the transmitter at all times, both in Yakutat and in St. Paul. In St. Paul, while I was there, the kids did put together an advertisement for a dance that they were going to have, and as soon as they got through with it, they walked up to the station and handed it to the lady who stopped the program that was in progress and put it on. The same thing happened when we did a piece of animation. One of the students just did some real simple animation, but it was quite good, very imaginative. Then he took it up there, and at the next break, she ran that piece of animation, which is immediate gratification for the kids.
I call that responsive programming.
I think you make a request, it's on the air.
Are the kids encouraged by that, then?
Yes, wildly. So I think almost everything that they shoot, they immediately put it to the question, is this broadcastable? Shall we put this on the air? And they're thinking in terms of all the tapes that they do for this project, the Ptarmigan TV project, will be broadcast to the community to keep them informed of what's happening and also to show what the kids have been doing in school.
I think in Barrow they have the same kind of accessibility to the media. They have a station. They will be having a station that is nothing but community input. I guess they don't really have too much on it right now, but... they have a lot of the announcement type things. But they have access also. It would be interesting to see what kind of access the students get here in Fairbanks.
I was just thinking how ironic Fairbanks, you know, has the most TV stations and probably the least access.
I'm certain that's true. I think that's a great advantage in the Bush communities is their access to their own media, and that's very important. And I think that's one of the main values that will come out of this, in addition to research skills and study skills for the students, is that they will be trained to both critique and to produce media material about their own community.
You seem to be saying that in Barrow and Yakutat and St. Paul, television is an important part of their lives?
Well, you know, in Barrow, when it's dark and cold, I mean, what do you do? I would assume that that's one of the reasons that it's really become an important part of their life.
I talked with some of the kids in St. Paul who said that, and they could remember back when the satellite television project started and how much it changed the social life in the community and how community get-togethers still occur on a regular basis, but with less frequency. And they're less well attended because people are spending evenings now with the rest of their family at home watching television. I think the television has really changed social patterns in the villages that it's been introduced to.
I was just wondering if how strange it would be for people in St. Paul or Barrow watching something from national network TV, if it would seem very strange to them.
In St. Paul, where they've had the satellite now for 4 or 5 years, it's not, I mean, they're quite used to it. They've seen these things 4 or 5 years now. The same is true in Yakutat. They've had it for 2.5 years. And again, they're quite used to it. But from what I could tell is that they have sort of a sense of this is not reality, what you're seeing on the tube. And which, to me, is accurate for them. It is not reality. They have nothing to do with Starsky and Hutch.
It's kind of like a fairy tale. I mean, it's kind of like dragons and...
That's not a bad answer. Yeah.
And they enjoy it in that way, that it's a fairy tale? Or?
Well, I think commercial television is designed to be entertaining and distracting, and it succeeds in Detroit and also in St. Paul.
I think people in the rest of the country would be really interested to know. I'm sure that a lot of people in the lower 48 don't know that people in these really isolated communities are watching the very same programs that they're watching. That would be really fascinating to find out people's reactions when they find out that the kids in Barrow are, you know, singing the same songs and, you know, have the same teen idols and, you know, they have much the same media taste, anyway.
I completely agree that that's true. In my experience on St. Paul, then when they would have a disco dance, the music that's played is almost the exact same as in Anchorage. They're perhaps a month behind, but that's all.
Bob Walker and Carol McTaggart of the Ptarmigan TV Project. For Chinook Profiles, I'm Nancy Harris. Chinook is a production of KUAC-FM in Fairbanks.